Oh, welcome to another episode of Beer Fish Fanatics. Forgot to introduce, you know, it happens. I might have had a beer before this. Sorry, guys. So this is Granny with Bob Pop Fishy. We have
Kit with the Fishing Kit YouTube channel.
And today we have a special guest because I'm super excited here because we have a gentleman that's not even in the mainland. So this is going to be awesome because it's a gentleman by the name of Nick Morris. If you haven't seen his channel, you guys got to go check out Real Adventures Hawaii. He catches fish that us mainlanders and us central Midwesters never seen before. So you guys got to go check his stuff out. It's pretty amazing, man. So thanks so much for joining us, Nick. Appreciate your time, sir.
Oh, glad to be here. Thanks for invite.
All right. So today, just give a heads up. I'm drinking Carol IPA today. I haven't had a good IPA in a while. So it's a local brewery. They donated some beer to us to drink a while back. So I decided to grab one of these to drink. What are you drinking today, Kit?
I got a Peace Tree Brewing Company. Get a little hazy. It's a hazy IPA. You guys know I love my IPAs.
we're a bunch of IPA guys. IPA heads or I don't know, hop heads or something like that. So, what do you got, Nick?
I'm drinking a Honolulu Beer Works, a Kualo Cream Ale.
Man. All right. That's it. Next time I'm in Hawaii, I got to go.
It's good. It's super good.
Man.
Because of you guys, I've been listening to you guys for a while now. Because of you guys, I was like, I got to try more IPAs. I was like, oh, man. It's a little hoppy. There's a couple I like, but it's weird. Like, you have to be in the mood for it. It's different. Yeah, you get used to it, I guess.
You know what I recommend? If anybody's looking to get into IPA, start out with like Fishing Kit has, like a hazy IPA or session IPA, which is not completely super hoppy, and then drink it on like a super hot day. Because you're like, you know,
that's
how
super hot day.
Yeah, because you're so thirsty. You're like, oh, and then you drink like, oh, it's badass.
Get slaughtered.
cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah, it's hoppy. Oh, that's good. All right, man. So, man, this is I've been reaching out to Nick. I've been watching his channel a lot in the past couple months. And I wanted to get you on because, like I said, we don't see, you know, the type of fish you catch here, obviously, because, you know, you guys, you're in the ocean, you're an island out there. So tell me, I'm curious, if I were to visit you right now, me and Fishing Kit, like, we're going to go to Hawaii, let's go fish real quick, right? What are you going to take us to go fish for?
Right now, there's a lot of skipjack right now.
What is that?
It's like a tuna. It's weird, like, because all over the continental United States, wherever they catch them, it's a rubbish fish. Nobody wants to deal with it. In Hawaii, we look at it as, like, a really good eating fish. We eat sashimi with it, poke with it. But in the mainland, you tell Florida guys, they're like, I don't want nothing to do with that fish. But
is it bait here? Do they use that as bait in the mainland?
Because I've heard of skipjack. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You can use it for bait. Guys don't like it because it's more on the fishy side, but it's a really, really firm type of meat. As long as you cut out the bloodline, it's good eating. But there's lots of that right now and lots of mahi-mahi right now. You guys know what that is, right? Lots of striped marlin right now. A ton of striped marlin right now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, they get about like about 150, 200 pounds, but there's a ton of them right now.
Like in your last video, you caught, I think, like five different species. If you catch five species at a lake in Iowa, that's like a grand slam.
So it's weird. Like I heard you guys talking with the DLNR guy. The other week, right?
Yeah.
And there's all kind of regulations with like all kind of bag limits, all kind of stuff, right? For us, we don't really have that kind of stuff over here, like bag limits and crazy stuff. There's bag limit, there's like size limits and open season for certain fish, but pretty much everything's open game. Knock yourself out,
man. Really?
Yeah, that was a big cooler too, man. There's so much fish.
Dude, that's pretty. Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think about that. You are in the ocean. It's kind of hard for them. Is it because they just don't want to regulate it or is it?
Honestly, there's a pretty good amount of fish here, but there's certain species where people really target them. Okay. Like moy and stuff like that. It's a real like prize fish. Everybody wants it. So they have a real strict season on because guys will try and wipe it out.
Oh, so yeah, that was my other question. I wanted to know like, okay, so you're in Hawaii, like, you guys don't really have seasons of fish, or do you? Because you know what I'm saying? Because your weather is pretty much almost year-round the same.
You would honestly think that, right? Because the weather doesn't really change a whole lot.
Yeah.
But fish-wise, it's very, very seasonal here. Like our tuna runs, like our big tunas, when they come in, I would suggest you come summertime because a tuna really bite from about late May to about mid-August, late August, and that's where we get all our yellowfin tuna come in, all like 100-pounders to 200-pound tunas coming in. Once that ends, they kind of go away, and now we're kind of getting to like the big eye season, big eye tunas. They come around, but you're talking maybe like a within a one-month window. They'll be here, but they're real spotty. You have to find them, and then they'll be gone. So we're not really too much of a big eye tuna people over here, but they do come around.
They call it the ahi, right? So that,
yeah, or they call it the ahi.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
We just call them ahi, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, okay. How do you tell the difference between those two, actually? I'm just...
When they're bigger, you can really tell because the yellowfins have a super long fin. They look crazy. They have a real long yellow sickle.
Yeah.
But when they're smaller, it's pretty much by looking at the tail or like the vertical stripes on them. You have to kind of like know a little bit. When they're small, they're hard to tell though.
Gotcha.
Interesting. So what's a fish that you can catch like consistently down there, like regardless time of year, or a few fish? I'm pretty sure there's a few.
Like trolling wise on the boat or like from shore?
I guess from shore. I guess for the shore anglers out there.
I guess shore anglers, you can pretty much catch everything around over here.
Yeah.
I guess like papillos, like the jacks, it's kind of, it's not really seasonal. They're always here, but more like, I guess, late summer, they really come around because of the bait fish coming in. So they're a lot easier to catch. But trolling wise, pretty much any pelagic fish you can catch year round over here. You just have to be the right spot at the right time. But just certain times of year, you can catch a lot more of them.
What's your favorite fish right now to catch?
That's a hard one, I guess.
anything that's 200 pounds.
Honestly, like from the boat, like Hawaii, it's all about prestige, right? Everybody wants to come in and say, oh, I caught 9 eyes, 200 pound eyes, right?
Yeah.
It's all about how much, when you talk to our fishermen, it's like, how much eyes did you catch this year? You know what I mean? It's all about the prestige.
Yeah.
But I honestly like catching marlins. I like the fight of a marlin, seeing them jump, stuff like that.
Man.
So I like catching marlins, but the eyes are prestige in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
We're gonna have to jealous. Okay, next time I'm in Hawaii, because I, like I said,
guaranteed.
I gotta get in touch with you, because I usually go once a year, and obviously this year has been one of those crazy things. And then because I got 4 daughters now, so it's real tough for me to.
Yeah, your hands are full.
Pretty full, because wait till my little one is a little bit bigger. I definitely want to get out there, because dang, dude, I'm telling you, dude, to catch a marlin, that would be badass, man. I don't know. Man.
Yeah, if you come over here, guarantee I'll take you guys fishing.
Nice.
My new boat's almost done, so be enough room for everybody.
Wow. So can you talk about like the area that you're from for like the people that aren't familiar with you?
I'm pretty much on the main island of Hawaii. Honolulu, I guess, is like the capital, but I'm in the main island on Oahu, kind of like the central part of the island. So I can pretty much get anywhere on the island within about 30 minutes tops.
Oh, yeah. We were also wondering, like, is freshwater fishing even a thing in Hawaii, or is it all ocean?
You know what? I try to go fishing once a week. I try to make a video once a week, right?
Uh-huh.
And this week the weather is just terrible. I mean, like, soup is going like 30 miles an hour plus. It's rainy. It's huge waves right now, like really big waves right now. So I was like, trying to contemplate what kind of video I can do tomorrow for this week. And we're actually going to think about going bass fishing. We have peacock bass over here. My friend's like, let's go do that for a video. But my other friend canceled, so we're going to go dive tomorrow now. There's bass over here. There's a couple places where there's trout over here also. I don't think on Oahu, but the outer islands have trout. But lots of peacock bass, huge peacock bass.
Peacock bass. Okay. I don't think we have any peacock, but do we, Kit?
Florida.
Florida. Okay, yeah.
They're big and they fight like crazy, I heard. They fight like super good.
Man, we're going to have to go. Man, that's going to be pretty funny. we go to Hawaii and we go freshwater fishing. That would be people will be like, dude, you guys are idiots, Dad. You guys are cut off.
There's catfish and everything over there. There's everything.
Nice. Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I like catfish, but yeah. I don't have too many fish to choose from.
Would you actually go diving? Because you go spear fishing, right? Is that what you're talking about when you're diving? Okay. None of us has ever done that or I'm close to that. So I've seen a couple of your videos, your spear fishing. Like, can you, so people are listening or even watching right now, like, can you explain what the hell spear fishing is? I mean, in their eyes, they're probably thinking you're standing on a rock and you're throwing a spear into the water. It's not
spear
like
fish
that.
Is pretty much your targeting. I guess spear fishing, good thing about spear fishing is you can target a certain species of fish and I guess the size of fish. And you're pretty much just holding your breath, diving down to a certain depth and waiting with a spear gun or pretty much like a Hawaiian sling, a 3-prong, and just waiting on the bottom to find something that you want to eat. And I'm honestly terrible at it. Like, I'm not even that good. I used to be a really good diver years ago, but I haven't dove for like over 10 years. So I'm starting to get back into it slowly, but there's so much guys over here that dive really good over here, like unbelievable.
How deep is the water where you're spearfishing?
I'm only going like 40 feet max.
Damn.
Like some of my other friends will hit like 120 feet, no problem. It's crazy. And they'll stay down for like 2 minutes. It's crazy.
Man, you know what? I can barely swim. Shit.
Right? I'm like thinking about this. I'm like, man, these guys are diving down there. I'm like 40 feet to 100 feet. That's insane, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And then, like you said, you're just holding your breath and doing it, right? Like just looking.
Yeah, you're pretty much holding your breath and just waiting.
So how do you train for that? Like you just go do it and just try to push out a little bit deeper and deeper every time?
I guess there's different ways. Some guys will exercise in pools and stuff like that. Or if you can dive once a week, it's good. It helps, but it's a little slower process to gain up a breath time. You want to try to hold your breath as long as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's apps out there you can use. I use an app, and I try to train like at least once a day on the app just to try to build up my lung capacity to try to help me out. The more bottom time, the better chance of a bigger fish, for sure.
So don't think you're just going to go out there and just hold your breath and just go. You might want to train a little bit.
You can go just off the shoreline, but you want to stay shallow, at least less than 10 feet of water for sure. Because the dangerous thing is you can black out. That's the dangerous thing. You can black out and die. Oh, yeah. And I've had that happen. And I tell people like, well, my channel, I tell about all the precautions about being safe, because about 10 years ago, I blacked out coming up from a deep dive. Oh. And my partner was there watching it. If he wasn't there, I probably would have died. Damn, so I tell people, always dive with a partner, because you never know.
Yeah. No, that's same thing with ice fishing.
Because
we're like, if we go ice fishing, we tip. Typically, I always go with somebody. You never know what can happen. You know, you drop
to the ice, you're done.
Yeah. But, you know, because my uncle, like I said, he lives in Hawaii, and I told him, hey, I want to take you ice fishing. He goes, hell, he goes, nah. He's like, nah. He's like, you know, mama didn't raise no food.
That's an adventure, though.
It is. I mean, you ever get a chance to get to the mainland at all?
Yeah, me and my family normally go to the mainland, but we don't go like where you guys live. We go like, San Diego, maybe Washington, stuff like that. We ain't going like all the way up there.
Have you ever even seen snow?
Yeah. I see military. Snow? I used to travel all around the world. I see military before. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I took my kids to see like Hawaii. That's one of the things. Like people in Hawaii, like I've never seen snow before. It's weird like that.
Yeah.
Kids, we try to take them like once a year.
Yeah. My uncle's like, when they bring the family up here, because, you know, to see snow and everything, and then they look at it, they touch it for like 30 seconds, they run back in because they're like, man, it's too cold. They can't handle the cold. They're not used to it. So it's pretty funny.
You know what? It snows in Hawaii. You know that, right?
Like up in the
mountains,
right?
On Big Island in Mauna Kea, it snows. Yeah. It's like over 10,000 feet elevation, super high up.
Yeah, that's high.
Guys will go up there with their trucks and put up the back of the truck with snow and bring it down to their house. And they like snowmen in their front yard.
Oh, man.
It melts in like that's 1 minute.
It's a Hawaii thing.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
That's pretty funny. Right?
You'll see guys drive around the town with just piles of snow in the back of their truck. Like, they went to the mountain. Guaranteed.
So when did you start getting into YouTube, man? Where, like, I know your channel has been blowing up lately. That's just like, boom, boom. When did you get into it? And, you know, what made you kind of just like, all right, I'm going to show everybody what I do and just kind of spread the word. You're like, man, that's kind of a hot spot. You sure you want to show people that? You know what I mean?
Oh, you wouldn't believe some of the messages I get from people.
See?
But honestly, my channel started, I started a YouTube channel, original YouTube channel about 10 years ago. Like back in the day. Uh-huh. And I used to upload videos to there, and I used to voice over and all kind of stuff. And I thought, I was like, oh, this is like the best videos ever, right? Over 10 years ago. And that's on my old channel. There's some crazy videos on there, but it's boring. It's all one angle. And then this channel, I guess maybe about April of last year, somewhere around there. But I've always been filming. I've been filming my whole time fishing from when GoPros first came out, the original GoPros, I started filming. And I have content, tons and tons of content that I just, for my own personal, you know, I mean, like, okay, I'm like videotape this, videotape that, and then finally I was like, I'm gonna start, people told me, like, why don't you start making videos again, because everybody knows me in Hawaii for making lures. I'm a lure maker, a trolling lure maker, so a lot of people know me for that. So people are like, why don't you start making videos again, Nick? So I was like, I guess I'll start making videos again, that way if my kids can watch it when they get older and watch it. So that's what kind of started it again.
That is cool. You're doing pretty good for like being out there for what, a little over a year now, your new channel. Anyway.
Yeah. So about a year and a half or so. So not bad. But I got like super bad ADHD. So I just veg on everything. Like I try to study everything I can. Like, I'm all about like, algorithm to try to figure stuff out. It's retarded.
It happens to the best of everybody in YouTube, man. Everybody gets into it. And they're like, how can I get better? How can I get bigger? I get it, man. Everybody tries to do that. I wanted to, because I saw the video when you were flaying the yellowfin, right? Man, I'm not going to lie. That made me, I literally was telling Fishing Kit here right before you jumped on. I was like, dude, go check out that video. It makes you hungry because I love sushi. We're Asian guys. We love sushi. We love sashimi. I'm like, God dang, dude, this guy like flaying the freshest freaking tuna. I'm like, hey, I want some. I wanted to ask you because you mentioned in that video, I don't know if you got haters or somebody who mentioned about shooting the fish. So because typically, okay, over here we catch a huge catfish or whatever. I usually knock it out. I don't know. I don't know if it's considered inhumane or whatever, but I'm just wondering because the fish you're catching that you were filleting, that was like almost 120 some pounds, right, or something like that.
Yes.
When you caught it, obviously you shoot it just to kind of. In a way, in it quickly, right? It's
a couple of different things. So honestly, like, that's really big controversy over here. Okay. With a lot of guys are like, a lot of guys will look down at you like, oh, you shouldn't shoot. If you're shooting, it's because you don't know what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's bogus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't know what they're talking about. Honestly, by shooting the fish, when it comes up and you shoot it, it does a few things. It kills it fast, which makes it humane, number one, right? And the main thing is, it pretty much with the tunas, you have to bleed them instantly. Especially the yellow fins. If you don't bleed them instantly, you'll get burning in the meat, which I pretty much never have in my tunas. They're hot. Their blood is so hot, they actually cook their meat inside. If you don't get the blood out right away, when you fillet it, you'll see all white meat on the inside of the fillet. It actually cooks the meat. Wow. And it makes it like terrible quality. It's like cooking grade at the best. It's your dog wouldn't eat it. It's terrible quality.
Wow.
So it really makes the meat really different. And a lot of the guys that talk trash about it will say, oh, you shouldn't shoot it. They've never seen a tuna like that. And I can put a tuna for my tuna against their tuna. There'll be no comparison. Mm. So it's a big, big difference. But the main thing is it takes the fight out of the fish, especially the big martins. When the martins come up, you shoot them, it makes them lose their legs instantly. They'll just sink right next to the boat because when the martins come up, they're super dangerous. I've seen friends get stabbed. I've heard of people die from it. So it's a dangerous fish for sure.
That's what I was wondering because I was like, it makes sense. You know, you're going to take the fish to eat it. Why are you going to let it suffer? Yeah. In a way, you're going to let it suffer. So, I mean, I totally agree with that. I'm like, you might as well end it quickly.
So the tunas too, sometimes where we had them, where we bring them on a deck, like I fish other friends and stuff, where we won't bleed them. You bring them on a deck and you bring a 150-pound fish on the deck and you think he's dead and he starts kicking, they go ballistic. And what happens is it bruises all the meat inside. So when they flay the meat, they'll see pockets of blood spots where it's like stained in the meat. It's not a good thing. Yeah.
That makes sense though. I mean, to somebody who never done it, like, dude, that totally makes sense now.
Just like the martins, when people see us kill martins over here, they talk so much trash because martins are like trophy fish. But in Hawaii, we're meat hunters, you know what I mean? We're not trophy hunters, we're meat hunters. We're going all about get fish, we'll get to our family, our neighbors, our friends. Everybody in Hawaii eats fish. So we always tell people, we're meat hunters, we're not for the trophy, we're not Florida looking to tag it and high five. We're here to eat that thing.
I get that.
So is there any Hawaiians that don't eat fish?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of people that don't eat fish. You wouldn't believe there's a lot of people that don't eat fish. A good amount of people. There's a lot of people that are vegans. There's a lot of people that don't eat fish, though. It's weird. I know fishermen that fish that don't eat fish. That's crazy.
So what do they do with it?
They give it to friends and family. Or we have a big market over here. So besides Japan, we're the biggest auction market for fish. I think Japan is the biggest one. And then we're the second biggest.
Because I'm wondering, like, how much is the like a yellowfin going for right now, like per pound? I'm just wondering, like, because I know they go for, you can make a good living, right? Fishing for those?
Let me tell you today's prices from my friend. Yeah, if you guys are curious, I'll tell you all the fish prices today.
Sure.
So this is my friend that went to the auction today. Aku, remember the skipjack I was telling you guys? Remember the skipjack?
Yep.
They're going from 320 a pound to 340 a pound. Ono, Wahoo. Was going for $5.50 a pound today. Mahi-mahi was going between $5.80 and $6.50 a pound. There's no tuna today, but the tuna prices, it's been really good lately because of, I guess, COVID. The longline boats haven't been going out. Mm-hmm. So it's been about $3.50 to $5 a pound. Summertime, when the longline boats are going out, they can burst on the market. We can be lucky if we get $1.50 a pound.
Wow, really?
And they'll turn around, they'll still sell for $14 a pound.
So
it's crazy. Yeah, I was going to say, like, they come and sell it here, it's gonna be like $12-15 a pound.
Easily. They screw the local fishermen sometimes.
Man. So I mean, is that a do you have to have a license for all that to sell to the markets, or can
yeah, just you have to have a commercial license.
That's what I figured. Okay.
But it's crazy, like you guys have to have licenses and permits for each individual fish, right? Or no?
Just trout here. Just at least
trout here.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a fishing license here, and then you have to have a trout license if you're fishing for trout.
So over here, we don't have to have a fishing license at all over here. But if you want to sell, technically, if you want to sell, you need a commercial fishing license.
We can just go there and fish right now?
Yeah, you don't need a license at all.
What?
What? I did not know that.
Hey.
Yeah, you can come here and fish right now. You have no license at all. Huh. They're trying to change it, though. Apparently, they're trying to change it, but people keep fighting and shooting it down.
I don't know. I guess you guys don't really have like a DNR over there, do you?
No, we have one, but they're not really the greatest. I think they're probably undermanned. That's why. I think for the whole island of Oahu, which has over 1 million people, I think we maybe have 12 guys. That's it. And it's so bogus because you can see somebody doing something totally illegal, like laying a lay net. You know what a lay net is, right?
No. What is that?
Like a long fishing net with floats and lead and traps all the fish coming out, right?
Oh, okay.
They can lay a whole line against a stream, which is illegal. And you'll call the DLNR guys and they're like, oh, we have to witness it to do it. You can videotape him. They can't use it as evidence. They have to see with their own eyes.
Wow.
So people do all kind of illegal stuff over here. Nobody ever gets caught. It's crazy.
See, I'm guessing it's because since you guys don't need a fishing license, there's probably no funding for like DNR. Because like over here...
Yeah.
The fishing license, you know, that's what funds the DNR over here.
Yeah, our funding over here isn't the best for them. I think they make a lot of their funding from fines, but a lot of their funding also from like boat registration, which our boat registration is there's a lot of boat registration over here, like thousands, like $100-something, but it's still, I think they're still probably underfunded for sure.
Yeah, so that's probably what they kind of thinking about that. But no, I mean, that makes sense. 12 guys for an island of 9 people.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, there's no way. And then most of those population fish, you know what I mean? It's like
all of us guys that fish, we all know. If you want to do something illegal fishing-wise, which I don't, by 3:30, they're home ready. You can do whatever the hell you want. Have a blast. Like there's this spot that's really good diving, right, on the North Shore. Oahu, like really, really good diving. And everybody's like, yeah, by 3:30, everybody knows DLNR goes home, right? These kids are running across the beach, across the street from the beach with spear guns full of fish. These kids are like, they're like 12 years old with a whole bunch of fish running across the street. I was like, it's 5:30. Those guys are home already. These kids know.
Wow.
They're smart, bro.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, man. That is pretty funny. When you go out fishing for like all these, you know, the tuna and everything, the ahis and everything, what depth are you fishing at?
So over here is weird, like compared to like Florida, where you have to go like 50 miles to get deep water.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on the west side of Oahu, which is the deepest side, and I can be 2 miles offshore, and I'll already be at about 300 fathoms of water. So is that 1,800 feet of water?
Damn.
What's a fathom?
Yeah.
6 feet? Six feet?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it gets super, super deep fast. Jeez. Really deep fast.
Yeah. What's the deepest here, Kit?
I think like 150 feet.
Yeah.
Hold on. How many fathoms is that?
Divided by six. Come on. Hey, you're Asian. Come on, man. Like, you got to be faster, Kit. Come on.
That's like less than 30 fathoms.
That's pretty good.
But I think it's really deep. You can go like 50 miles offshore and get to like 20,000 fathoms.
Wow. Jeez. So what's the deepest that you normally catch fish in?
Honestly, you can go as far as you want off here. You can go like 20. You can go like way the hell offshore, like 50 miles offshore, and catch fish.
What's the deepest you've personally fished out of?
Over 20,000 fathoms for sure.
Dang.
You know, we go deep, but we're not touching the bottom. We're just trolling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're trolling, or we're looking for rubbish and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think in one of your videos, like there's something on the graph. You're like, yeah, that's a whale. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because to us mainlanders, like whale, that would freak me out a little bit. Like, what?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's a little freaky. And then you guys like fish for sharks around, like it's like, man, it's normal. Like to us, man, I'm not gonna lie. You took us fishing, and they were like, ah, that's just a shark. I would not just be like, that's just a shark.
I scared so much friends that never got on the boat before, because we have like shark cages where we take the tourists. And if you go over there, you can catch bait over there. But there's so much sharks. You show up there early in the morning when it's still kind of like on the dark side. You can't see the sharks. So you show up there and then they'll come right next to me and they'll start slapping the side of the boat. And people are like, what's that? What's in the water? They're like, I don't know. Just got to look. And I'll see the sharks. Like, there's sharks all over the boat.
Oh, yeah, see,
shooting a shark in the water is a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably freak out a little bit. Ain't going to lie.
Yeah. I'm not too fond of sharks.
Yeah. That's they're kind of annoying, like when it comes to fishing too, right? Because they're always stealing your bait and stuff.
Honestly, like the North Shore side of the island has so much sharks. It was never like that before. But I think ever since the shark tours, the sharks are attracted to the boat noise. So they'll follow the boats around. So that's dangerous because if you fall off your boat, you might get bald. You know what I mean? But you'll hook a fish. And as you bring up your fish, the sharks will come and eat your fish. It's like super bad. So we try to do our part to try to help take care of the shark problem over here for sure. We don't put it on videos, but we do our part.
Do people eat shark down there?
You can eat, supposedly, what guy said, you can eat every shark there is. I've never tried, but makos and threshers you can eat for sure. But I'm trying to catch one so I can eat it. You know what I mean? I was like, I want to make a video of it. Try to eat it. We'll see.
Yeah. I heard they basically pee through their skin. So, like, the meat gets kind of weird. Yeah.
So, you have to gill it and gut it instantly as soon as you get it. You have to get everything out of it instantly. And that's why they said with the other sharks, suppose you can eat them, you just have to get everything out of it instantly. Because once it starts to break down, I mean, and they have a really bad, if you ever smelled a shark before, they have a super really bad, like iodine like pee, kind of right? smell. It's weird. It's a real like iodine kind of smell. It's weird.
Yeah, that's
very,
what
very strong. It's super strong. Guys say it makes super good crab bait and bait for other stuff, but it's super strong smelling.
Count me out on that, man.
But the meat actually cooks like pork when you cook it. It's a real white meat, and it's almost like pork texture. It's weird.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, man. Oh, man, that's funny.
When you guys go ice fishing, how deep is the ice you guys can go on?
Well, the DNR recommends like 4 inches at the minimum.
Oh, then... That's small. That's thin.
Yeah, it's thin. That's why when you watch us or when we go, we have a ice picks and then we use a spud bar so you can check. So we use a spud bar right in front of you. So like Fishing Kit was saying that 4 inches is about the bare minimum. I mean, a lot of people actually go on 2 and 3. I mean, crazy people who are really excited about ice fishing. I wouldn't even do that, but. We have spud bars where we walk out maybe a foot and then spud in front of you.
What is it? It's just a spike?
Yeah, it's a big old metal pole.
Long like piece of metal that you basically if you try to punch through the ice in front of you, if it goes through, you don't want to go that way.
Yeah. So you practice like your hits, right? So every time when I hit, I know that's like a specific strength that I drop it down. Yeah. I know that's 1 inch. I hit the same spot again. That's 2 inches, right? If I hit it like 3 or 4, or if I hit about 5 times and it's still solid, then I'm good.
It's good.
But if I hit it like Kit just said, it goes right through. No good, you know.
We're backing up.
Exactly. But 4 inches of crazy. Ice, yeah. It's coming up here. Like Kit said, I think about a month. Hopefully, I mean, it's cold today.
A month. Weather's weird right now.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Kit came over today. It's like it's probably like. 30 when I saw it was like 40 almost yeah. like 40-ish
actually it was right around 40? Like mid-30s yeah. when I came over
yeah
right, like but it. Nick you gotta experience ice fishing at least one time
the coldest we get over here like where I live more like on the mountain side is maybe 50 at the absolute coldest time of year.
You gotta come here so we are the fools that we get a little bit excited when we look at the forecast. We're like, oh, it's gonna be 0 degrees for like a week straight. We get excited for like a week straight. We're like 0 degrees because we know it's creating ice because we love ice fishing, right? So yeah, we're the idiots that love the cold. We don't love snow. We love the cold. Yeah,
we don't want to see snow because snow will slow down. Slow down the ice building.
Yeah,
that's why we don't want to. You guys
are down to science already.
Yeah,
You gotta have just pure cold, no wind, pure cold for like 2 weeks straight. We're happy because that way it creates the ice and it just let it build.
Are you guys hardcore? You guys are in the open, or you guys have like ice houses?
We have both.
I prefer to be outside because you got to be mobile because you can't just stay in one spot in the tent. I mean, you can catch fish that way. Obviously, it's kind of like. I don't know, they call it trolling on the ice. Basically, you just
keep moving. Keep moving around.
Yeah, exactly. Keep drilling holes, keep moving. Because, I mean, you already know you got to move to find fish, right? Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, because we use the same thing. I mean, you use electronics when you're on a boat. We use the same thing when you're, you know, ice fishing. So
I know, I see them like the big round thing with the, right?
Yeah.
Flasher. What does that
do? Flasher.
But what does it do? It tells you which direction the fish is, or just tells you if there's fish there?
The circle is your water column. So it's basically you're straight down, but the circle, you know, it allows you to see more of the water column instead of, because it takes up so much room if you just go up and down.
Yeah.
So it just tells you what's directly beneath you.
And I always wondered about that, because I was like, well, how do you read that thing?
it's pretty cool. Once you get used to it, you're like, because you can see your lure and everything go down, and you can literally see the fish coming up or coming. It's pretty cool. And then nowadays, I mean, the technology with like live scope and panoptics and all that.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, my God. You can see you can see if there's a fish 50 feet away over there, like if you're at the wrong spot, and you can see what kind of fish it is nowadays. You know, it's pretty.
They don't have a chance now.
I think you're right on that. I think you're going to see, especially with live scope, you're really going to, it's a game changer. I think a lot of people are going to catch a lot more fish with it. I mean, it costs a couple grand, but you know, a lot of people.
Three grand for the ice fishing bundle.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's worth it if you can afford it, I guess. I mean,
but I guess the hard part is we could spend $3,000 on electronics over here and we can make it back. We can sell the fish. You guys, it's pure sport, because you're not going to make that money back. It's gone.
You're right on that, man. It's not like we can go and sell a crappie or catfish or something. Yeah, it's exactly right. See, you guys, that's the thing. We need to go to Hawaii, man. I'm gonna talk to my wife about this, man. This is a business investment.
Southwest Airlines is cheap right now.
Yeah, I've never been. You know, it'd be a good trip.
Okay, all right.
Ready off.
All right, Kit, you're gonna go with you go with me, because my wife, we're gonna go actually next month. I was really like, I was about to pull the trigger, but then freaking COVID is insane over here. I mean, because right now, like just in Iowa alone, like we're at the highest. That's why we're always on Zoom, or you know, do our podcast this way, is because COVID is insane right now here. And that's why we're like, if I were gonna go to Hawaii, my wife is like, oh, we want to go so bad, we're gonna take the kids and the girls and everything, but it's just so bad right now. So that's why
over here is like super safe right now.
Yeah, I know.
I think we're getting maybe like 70 a day, maybe.
Oh, we had like 4,000 for like,
no way.
4,000 new cases in the last, I think, 5-6 days straight.
Oh, people would lose their mind over here if that happened.
I figured that.
Yeah, you know, they get like, I think 40 to 70 a day or so. Not nothing crazy. You know what they said though, right? Vitamin D supposedly helps COVID, right? Yeah. So I was like, well, why isn't the sun over here? Maybe it's helping.
Yeah, see, no wonder you guys are doing so good, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got a quarantine too if we go to like Hawaii right now.
Yeah.
So if you come to Oahu, I think what it is you have to take a pre-screening test 3 days before you get here. Mm-hmm. If your pre-screening test is clean, when you land, they'll test you one more time and you're free to go. Okay. If you don't take your pre-screening test when you get here, you have to quarantine for 14 days.
That makes sense, because my uncle just came to visit. He because my grandma, his mom lives here, and he came to visit, and he I was like, don't you have the quarantine when you go back? He goes, nah, bro. He goes, you just take a test, like you just said. As long as you're negative, I think they say you're good to go, right?
I'm trying to get to the Big Island, right? But every county, every island is under a different county, mm-hmm. and they kind of can do their own thing. And the Big Island mayor is like, no, if you come over here, you have to quarantine no matter what. No pretest. I'm like, I'm getting my boat built, so I'm trying to go over there and check it out. But I was like, I can't go over there for 14 days in quarantine.
Yeah.
So I might fly up next week just to fly up and then just fly back that day.
Oh man, that's crazy, dude. How has COVID affected? I know it's obviously affected tourism, but how has it affected fishing and everything? Is it everybody else just, is it the same old, or?
There's a lot of people fishing now. A ton of people fishing now. People that have never fished before are fishing now. Like I run into a lot of people and they're like, oh, I started fishing because of your YouTube channel. Like, you never fished before? Like, no, because COVID, there's nothing we can do, so you have to find a hobby. So there's a lot of people fishing now. Like, a lot of the fishing stores are sold out of stuff.
See, yeah,
there's so much people fishing now. It's crazy.
That should help you, right? You make lures.
Yeah, but my stuff is like, I can sell lures year round, but it's ice season where like it really sells a lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But for me, it's more like a hobby, just side money, yeah, because I have a regular job.
Yeah.
It was more just for fun.
See, that's how you build your YouTube channel, I think. You do it for fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was never about, like, the money or anything like that. I was like, it's just for fun. Yeah. But my goal, the main goal I want over anything, I told my wife, is I just want a play button. That's all I want. I don't care about anything. I don't care about money. I don't care about fame. I don't care any of that stuff. I just want a play button. That's all I want.
What is the, is it 100,000 or
100,000? Yeah.
100,000. Okay. Hopefully we can get you one. one sub. All right.
Yeah, so we might get you some subs.
We'll make you, okay. Yes. Anybody who's listening and watching this, because this is the thing. I would say most of our listeners and watchers probably don't fish in Hawaii. But yeah. Because we got Nick here, I think if you guys go to his channel, subscribe, let's get to him. Because if he gets that play button, we're gonna go there and we're gonna take a picture with that play button. All right.
I think you guys fishing.
Exactly.
I'll put you guys on some fish bigger than the stuff you guys catch.
Oh, for sure. I bet.
For sure, man. When people go and watch your channel, so this cool thing is I love it how you give the musubi to the fishing gods. I love it, man. Yeah. You got to do it. It's like a ritual when you guys watch this channel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So musubi is like one of my favorite foods. I think it's Hawaiian's like top foods, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious, dude. I love it, though. But so funny, if you watch a channel, then all of a sudden you catch, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of guys doing it now because of that. Now I get guys every day, like on the weekends, I'll get like 5-6 guys tagging me on their Instagram story, like, oh, we're getting musubi to see God because of you, Nick. I was like, all right. The rule is you got to give something to get something. That's the rule. That's the whole thing behind it.
You can see spam and rice on the bottom of the ocean there now.
did you see my dive video?
Which one?
I think it's like not too long ago, but we threw a musubi over the side and we dove down and we have this. We have a fish over called it's called a roy or a peacock grouper, which is invasive. We threw a musubi over the side and so I dove over. I was like, there's one right there in the musubi. I don't bother. I shot it. I was like, perfect.
have you tried fishing with the musubi? Like, put it on a hook?
Not yet, but everybody's like, you didn't make a video of doing that. Go try to use a spam or use it and try to catch something with it.
All right. I think you should, man. All right. You're going to have to do that. I bet you're going to catch musubi fishing. Yeah, musubi
fishing. I'm sure something, but yeah.
You'll get something. It'll be funny to see what you get, though. I kind of want to see that. Dude. That'd be funny, man. Oh.
I was just talking about musubi the other day too. Like, man, musubi sounds good. Because actually, his aunt has like a little Hawaiian restaurant. She sells musubis.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I want to go get some.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's weird. Like, Hawaii people love spam, but in the mainland, everybody's like, spam, that's gross. Like, super good.
Dude,
I love musubis, man. So good.
I think spam is like the, I think, highest consumption is in Hawaii.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, the highest consumer of spam is in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie.
How much is a can of spam over there where you guys live? A
couple bucks, maybe. A
couple bucks, yeah.
Like,
it's like $4 or $5 a can over here.
No, not that high.
It's crazy.
Well, that's a crazy thing too, though, because when I went there, I mean, there's certain things that are cheap. Like, you can go get like pokey cheap. You go to Foodland, you super cheap, right?
Yeah,
not here. You can't even find it. You know, it's hard to find pokey. But when I try to buy eggs or milk there, holy crap, dude. It's like, how much is like a gallon of milk over there?
Like $9 maybe.
See?
Kid, yeah, it's crazy.
$9 freaking gallon
of
milk.
How much is a gallon of milk over there?
I mean, you can probably get away with a
$2.
Yeah, $1.50 or $2.
Like, if it goes over $2, like, oh, man. Like, milk supplies running low. It's over $2.
Well, we live in Iowa, too, so it's farmland. There's so much cows and pigs and stuff. So it's like, but yeah, when I went to go buy milk, I'm like, no, that can't be right. Am I buying beer? I'm like, no way. Yep. Like you said, like, nah, what the heck, man? I'm like,
this is just expensive. Milk. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, dude. But it's so funny.
The price of paradise.
That's true.
Yeah,
man.
There's a trade-off. Like, your seafood's cheap, but man, like everything else, it's the opposite for us. Beef and stuff isn't terribly expensive. I mean, how much is like a 16-ounce steak down there? Like,
it could be at least over $20 for sure.
Homes.
Yeah, probably about $20.
That is crazy.
You can buy a pound of ground beef for maybe like $16. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I bought a pound of ground beef today. It was like $3.69.
Yeah, no way. Not over here. No way.
Hey, we might be onto something here, Kit.
Yeah, and that was like on the expensive end too.
Man. Yeah.
See, that's why we fish over here. It's too expensive for them. You gotta try to catch your own dinner.
But yeah, that's true. You get to catch your own dinner, so that's a yeah, that'd be nice, man. You just go fish and catch. But that's the thing. When you mentioned about the invasive species, is there a lot of them? Because okay, you're surrounded by ocean, so how can it be invasive? That's what I'm wondering. Because it's just fish in the ocean, right? Or
so honestly, they actually brought them over at one point to try go after something else. Or actually, I think they brought like tilapia over here, which is like a blue line snapper. Okay. They brought it here because they're like, oh, it's a good food source. So they breed really fast and stuff. It'll be good to bring it over here. So they introduced it. But what they didn't realize is it's a predatory fish. They need to eat to make that, I guess, the abundance that they have. So they'll eat everything on the reef. Mm-hmm. And just like the roy, the same thing. They're like, it's a good food source. We should bring them over here. And they took over. So there's like three fish that we have over that kind of took over. That are like, if you find like a school of tilapia, you could see thousands of pounds of them just swimming. Yeah. Oh, and they're now, so we'll shoot them if we see them diving because they're good eating, right? I know guys that actually go and net them and sell them at the market. They'll can net 1,000 pounds every single day. And the pricing that goes, they only get like $2 a pound for it. But there's a ton of them.
I know you guys have a few like, I'm kind of getting away from fishing, but kind of like land invasive animals like the boars. Not, aren't they like invasive?
Oh yeah, the boars, yeah. The pigs. Wild, yeah. Oh, they're bad over because they tear up everybody's property and stuff. They're super mm-hmm. bad, and they can be aggressive. You see them in the mountain. Mm-hmm. They're super game. They're real gamey tasting.
Oh, like I eat them. Say, but like, yeah. do you go after those too?
So yeah, because I think the last time I was in Hawaii, it was a couple years ago, and my uncle, he lives up there in Pearl City, up in the mountains, right? And you're right. All of a sudden, we're drinking beer. We're just, having a good time watching football, All of a sudden, we see a family of wild boars. Just like, what the heck? It's literally
There's a lot up there.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just literally walk right up into you. I'm like, can we eat it? That's what I had a couple of beers. I was like, can we take it? Is it illegal? I was telling my uncle, can we just take this and just, let's, I'm just saying, throw it on the pit real quick. But then, like you say, he said it's super gamey. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of guys hunt with dogs over here. That's how I hunt the pigs with dogs. So, my neighbor lives, like, 10 hours away. He's always telling me, let's go hunt. But I was like, dude, I'm not built for hiking a couple miles in the mountain and all this stuff. That's not my style of hunting. Like, about a month ago, he's like, I got one in my trap. You want to come and make a video? He's like, I'll go make a video with you with the pig in your trap. So, he had a pig in his trap, and we actually eat the testicles. Like, let's eat something nobody eats. Let's eat the testicles. Oh, my God. That's the worst thing ever. Like, we cooked it and ate it. We fried it. Dude, I can get that taste on my mouth for like hours. It was horrible.
Speaking of
testicles. Why?
Why? I know why, man.
For the content, just for fun.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was terrible. It was horrible.
How was the tuna testicle? Okay, you only took one bite of that because, okay, the video. Oh, that
was too creamy. That's not my style at all.
You got it. Okay, I'll show you the link, Kit. He's like, this guy can't go, okay. Man, look at this creamy white stuff. I go, yeah, we know what it is, Nick. Like, this guy go, this creamy white stuff, guys, you guys look at it on his knife and everything. I'm like, oh, my
God. Oh, my God. Oh, it's horrible. That was horrible, too.
That reminds me of a story of one of our buddies, Magoo. So there's this trash fish here. It's called a freshwater drum. Like, he caught one, and I was like, keep it. I'll eat it. And he's like laughing at me, like, oh, you're gonna eat that trash fish, whatever. And then later that day, he was talking about, we got this fish called a white bass. And he, all of a sudden, for some reason, he was talking about eating the sperm. I was like, you're making fun of me for keeping this fish, but you like eating the sperm from this other fish? Like, come on, dude.
He said he loves it, man. I couldn't do it, man. I'm just like, so the sperm sack, I couldn't do it, man.
The whole reason with the tuna sperm sack was like, one of my other friends on Instagram was like, dude, it tastes so good. I was like, what is it? It's creamy. I was like, how the hell did you guys eat it? He's like, we mix it with shoyu sauce and some other stuff. I was like, I don't know about that. I was like, I'll try it. Whatever. I'll make a video. We'll try it out. So I cut it up and, oh, God, that creaminess. That thing just coats your mouth. No way.
Hey, yeah. Your buddy was laughing at you the whole time. I think he was just, I think he was just like, dude, no way he's going to do it. No way. But let's see if he does it.
So, like, over here, too, like, the thing is, like, a lot of people do it is, if you come on the boat with me, right, and it's your first tuna ever, mm-hmm. you're going to have to think about that hard to eat it. That's like your initiation.
You have to do what?
Like, the rite of passage.
Yeah, that's the rite of passage right there, the heart. So, like, me, I do it every first tuna of the season. I think about the heart. That's, like, my, in my head, like, this is my good luck. I'm taking a bite. I'm sacrificing. Let's get more eyes this season.
But I think you're right of passage. People do that with like deer and stuff up here too.
I think so. Yeah. I think you're right.
You'll take that tuna heart, and I think it'll still be like, it'll still be beating.
No way.
Do you just bite out of it?
Did you bite out of it with beating?
It honestly tastes like a really firm tuna. It's like extremely, extremely firm. And the taste isn't that bad. It doesn't taste that bad at all. If I cut up really small and mix it with poke, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Okay.
You just think it's a firm piece of tuna. Yeah.
So we don't have to technically bite it right then and there.
Oh, no. You have to bite it right then and there.
Oh, my God.
It has
God.
To be done right then and there.
All
right. It comes from the fish. It's still beating. Here you go. Take your bite. Let's see it.
Oh, man.
Are you sure you're not messing with us mainlanders on this?
I got tons of videos of it, of all my friends doing it. We always videotape. Like, oh, this first tuna. Here you go. Put it on Instagram. Bite it.
You got to go with us, man. It's a blast. I love Hawaii.
I want to. It's one of those bucket list things for me.
That's why I go every year, man. That's why I go every year. I love it so much. It's like I never want to leave, man. I'm just telling you.
Plus, you guys are Asian. You guys are like locals. I don't even know. Until you guys start talking, then you guys would be in trouble.
Yeah, when they hear, we don't speak the pidgin language. You know what I'm saying?
You guys are tiny enough. You guys are like locals.
Yeah, when I was like watching some of your videos and like you, because you use a lot of like the local language for the fish.
Oh, yeah,
man. I was trying like, man, I have no idea what the hell fish this guy's talking about.
I try to say the local name, and I'll try to say like the white name, or not really the white, but like I guess the mainland name for it, just so people know.
Okay.
It's very yeah, no, I love it, man. Just Dozer, man. I was like, see, because the
what's Dozer? Yeah, can you explain Dozer?
I hear it
like 10 times in all your videos.
I don't know, like Dozer is like something you used to say like when you're younger, like, oh, that's a Dozer, like just a big fish, right?
So
now I don't know, it's just a thing now. Like, I'll have little kids come to me in the shopping center, like, hey, you catch any Dozers? I'm like, oh, yeah. I'll get people coming to me saying, oh, I saved so many dolphins because of you. You guys see that one? Dolphin saving?
No, I haven't seen that one yet, man. I gotta go check.
So I always tell people, hit the like button to save a dolphin. It's like a little catchy phrase.
Is that your buddy that pops up on the screen?
That's my one of my good friends, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I filmed the one that we're coming for fishing one day. That guy's probably one of the best fishermen in the state. He's young. He's like 27 years old. And he's probably like literally one of the best fishermen in the state. We're coming in. I was like, make a dolphin sound. So he did it. I was like, oh, I'm using this in my video from now on.
You ever think about ever doing a guide service or anything, man? Or is that just something like,
Nah, not really.
Too much work.
My wife was like, I get messages, I guess, from YouTube because people watch my YouTube. I get messages like all the time on Instagram, like, hey, do you do charters? Can you take us out? Can you charter us? But not really. My wife said, you should just get your charter license and just, if guys ask, just take them. I was like, it's not really my style, but maybe.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, though. It's not.
I have like a couple like good video ideas I really want to do is like, because a lot of people know me, and I got my new boat coming in like in the next couple of weeks. It's like lime green. You can't miss it, right? So my plan is just go sit at the harbor and just wait for someone to come to me that recognize me. Like, you want to go fishing? Let's make a video. Take you strangers fishing.
Hey.
I was like, that'd be fun.
Actually,
that'd be cool.
That would be brand new. I don't think anybody's ever done anything like that. That would be pretty
just
cool.
Sit there and just wait for somebody to come and talk to me. Like, you want to go fishing right now? Let's go.
Dude, yeah, that'd be
pretty cool, man.
Hey, I would watch. Hey, that'd be pretty badass. That'd be pretty cool content. I like that idea. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, we won't.
Speaking of Legos fishing.
Yeah, we might not put that. We might have to mute that part out so nobody tries to steal your idea.
Steal idea.
That's a great idea, though. I think that would be pretty cool. I would watch. I'd be, because you just grab some random stranger, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Mainlander. Just like,
totally random.
That'd be awesome. Just like, what the hell am I doing on a boat?
Fly him offshore. Like, where the hell am I? 20 miles offshore.
Like, this guy kidnapped me.
We're not going home yet.
Right.
We need to catch something first.
What's your record fish, man? Size, your PB.
I guess for like tuna wise, I think it was like 215. Marlin wise, I didn't weigh because nobody had a scale at the time, but estimates were 1,000.
1,000. What?
I should have weighed it, honestly, but we got in so late at night, we didn't weigh it, or late in the afternoon, we didn't have nobody had a scale, but it was probably 1,000 pounds. Guys in Kona who normally catch 1,000 pounders, I gave them all the measurements. They're like, dude, that's a grander. You should have weighed it. You're so stupid. 5 years, I think this was in like 2017, but maybe like 4 or 5 years before that, I had one. I guarantee it was at least 1,400 pounds.
Jeez.
He was like, He's about 60 or 17 feet long. And I had him behind my boat for like, for 2 hours, I had him at 25 feet. I couldn't get any closer. Like, I'd bring him up. It was just me and my dad. So I'd bring him up, handline it. And then he would take, like, I couldn't get him closer. I was like, oh, man. And then it was almost dark already. And there's pilot whales surrounding the boat because the pilot whales want to eat it, right? Yeah. And my dad goes, oh, that thing's huge. He's like, dude, I don't want nothing to do with that, Marty. If you want it, you kill it yourself. I was like, okay, I'll kill it myself. So I put the bang stick, which is a 44, right? Pretty much a bullet. Yeah. On a stick, I put in the porters. I'll kill it myself. So for about 2 hours, I couldn't get him closer. He's so big. Every time he'd come on the boat, he would just turn like this, and you'd take drag. You couldn't stop it. It was so big. And then finally, I had it close enough. I was like, okay, I'm gonna bang stick. So I wrapped it with one hand. It was fighting for hours. I put it with one hand. I got a bang stick. I pull. And that line snaps right there. And he just went down. Like, and that one was guaranteed well over 1,400 pounds. I'd say it was. Damn. That was the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life. But like the big one I caught, the big one I caught that was like a grander. I caught on a lure just like this, but there's no, yeah, this is what, it was a blue one, but there's no skirts on it. Yeah. But it looks just like this.
So, okay. What is that? So we can explain to the people who are just listening.
It's a resin trolling head. So like, I guess like Hawaii kind of, Joey, who's the world famous lure maker from Hawaii, came up with resin lure heads. And that's like his claim to fame. And that's why Hawaii is so well known for resin lure heads. So it's pretty much just resin. It's like acrylic resin. There's a lead inside. There's tubes in it. The center tube is where your line goes.
Okay.
The four tubes on the side is just to make bubbles or smoke trail. Yes. All different shapes. There's like bullet shapes.
So does that go like above your hook or whatever?
So this goes like, this goes right here. It has your skirts.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a minute? You guys have like 10 seconds? I'll grab a little fast. I'll show
you. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to grab a beer too then.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab another beer.
I'll be right back.
I'll give a quick shout out to Back Pocket. I'm doing Back Pocket now because this is going to extend longer because not too often we get a Hawaiian genius fisherman on with us. He's about to show us some secret lures. So I'm super excited to see this stuff to catch the monster that he said he caught. Dude, 1,000. So just so you know, Nick, any people in Iowa, 1,000-pound fish to them is like, huh? Like that doesn't exist to us. So here,
the girth around it was over seven feet round.
Oh my
wow!
God. It's on my YouTube channel. There's a video of it on my YouTube channel.
All right, I'm gonna go look that one up.
Yeah, I'll add it. I'll add the thing.
Yeah, we'll
the,
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
When I
we tried to let it go, but it died on us. So
yeah, did you eat it then?
Actually, I sold it.
Oh, I was gonna say like.
The big ones aren't that good. The string is so big on them. So I sold it to a guy who smokes marlin. So I sold it for like $500. Oh, I think he turned on me like 10 grand maybe. Smoking it.
Wow.
Because there's so much fish. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big
deal. I made right 500. Though. You made 10 grand. What the hell?
Dang.
Man.
So remember I told you like the original resin lure maker in Hawaii?
Yes.
Joey, right?
Joey, yeah.
This is my head. This is considered like a 9-inch lure, okay? This is considered like a 12-inch lure. This is his.
Oh, all right. So people are listening this on the podcast. You guys have to go take a look at this on YouTube. The lures that Nick's is showing. It's
the lure is huge. So
huge, intense.
So this lure right here, honestly, compared to something I make, the quality on this is all the lure makers know the quality isn't the greatest quality, but he's the original guy. You know what I mean? He's caught in more grinders on his 1,000-pound marlins on his lures than anybody else. So, and this guy is 80-something years old. He's still making lures, still yet. A lure like this, I can sell for $60, right? Maybe $70, right? A lure like this, probably about $600.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a collector's item, that's why, yeah.
Oh.
So guys still buy them and use them, but it's mostly for collecting. I mean, like this right here, this is one of his also. Mm-hmm. I could sell it for like $50. This right here is probably worth like $300.
Wow.
Jeez. Just because it's his lures, yeah. Mm. When you guys go, I guess, fishing from on the lakes and stuff, what kind of pond test are you guys using?
Like, I was actually going to ask you this stuff. I was like, because I kind of want to get into your tackle. Panfish, 4 to 6 pounds through the ice.
That's like the biggest leader?
Biggest leader. Like the biggest I'd go for like blue cats is maybe 65 pounds. That's like on the heavy side. And on the light side, I probably go down as far as like 4, maybe 3 pounds.
So for trolling lures, okay, this is a trolling lure with all the skirts on it. The leader I use is 300 pound test.
300 pounds.
But yeah, lots of guys. I'm considering using small leader. Lots of guys use 400, 500 pound tests. Mm-hmm. I use 300 pound tests. But you see the lure, all the skirts on it now, and nice. Then the hooks. I run double hooks.
Yeah, how big is one of those hooks? What size is that?
I think one is a 9 and one's a 10 oh. But compared to like a
If anybody's listening, the hook is as big as a 12-ounce beer can.
Yeah, it's like 3/4 like lengthwise.
just to give you guys a visual.
Has ever used double hooks? This is a double hook.
I think people use it for like bass and stuff.
Here. I've seen some people use it, but dude, that is crazy though. Just to think about, okay, so you landed a grand on 300-pound test, right?
Yeah,
that's insane. Like, how long was that fight?
The hard part was it died on us. Like, it died deep. The big ones are all big females, so they can die on you. And this fish died. Like, we use 130-pound, 130-class reels, like big gold reels. And this fish died with 500 yards of line out.
Wow.
The line was straight down. So I had the line wrapped around my hand. And then my dad was driving the boat. I said, watch what happens when I let go. It was something. I stopped it. I said, that fish is dead. So the only way to get a dead fish up is you have to plane it. Or else you'll break line. So pretty much means you can't lock the drag because it'll break the pole because it's too much weight. So I did for like 2 hours. I'd stand in the back of the boat. I'd wrap the line around my hand, drive real slow forward, and the fish would paint itself up. And then reverse super fast and try reeling line. And go real slow forward and reverse back for like 2 hours straight. Dang. And then finally, once the fish got to maybe like 30 feet of water, the thing just popped up and floated. It looked like it was still alive, kind of. It was still moving and stuff, but it was kind of dead. We tried to revive it, but it was done already.
That's pretty intense, man. Think about it. For 2 hours to be doing that, but...
Oh, yeah.
But that's
we fought
for
like an hour before that. Yeah, so we fought for at least 3 hours.
Wow. Ocean fishing problems.
Oh, my God.
Hey, would you figure it out, man? You guys are... I'm not going to lie. I think ocean fishers are like engineers. You run into this issue, you had to kind of figure it out. That's pretty ingenious in a way how they get that fish up. I'm wondering, like did you already know that's how you can do it, or is that something that you like kind of figure out?
I think that's something that honestly, from like, we have fishing shows in Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm.
From when I was a little kid, there's fishing shows in Hawaii we used to watch, and from watching those fishing shows from law back in the day, you kind of know in your head that's something you have to do, you know what I mean, with a big marlin like that.
Okay.
Is reverse them, get them on plane and bring them up. And that's kind of the only way to do it. Another way to do it, what they used to do back in the day, was they'd take like a mop head, right? Because the marlin bills are so like grippy and stuff. If you magnify it, you look in, they have like little hooks on the bill. They hook back, so when they hit fish.
Uh-huh.
So what they'll do is they'll go to a fishing line and they'll drop it all the way down with a mop head on it. And it hit the bill and it get all sticking out in the bill. And they can bring the fish up like that if it died.
Oh, you're talking about like a mop, like you mop the floors with, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because it just kicks all on the bill and they bring them up like that. That's how they used to do it back in the day.
That is crazy. Holy cow, man. Man.
Hey, yeah, can you talk about like your typical rig, like as far as like rod, reel, line, like when you're going for tuna or whatever?
Pretty much. We mostly use 130 class reels over here. Some guys use 80s. And this is like, we're talking about like Pens or Shimano's, the big gold international reels. And the poles, typically, some guys use 130 class poles, which I don't like because they're too stiff. When you're in rough water, you find a big fish, they'll bounce the hook out. Mm. I use normally like an 80 class rod, but I use a full length rod. It's like 6.5-7 feet. It's longer than most guys use. But I know that if I'm finding fish, it's gonna flex with me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're humbug to put away, but when you get a big fish on, they're good rods. And then on the reel, we have about 160-pound test line, about 850 yards. And from there, we go to a big snap swivel. And then our leader, which is 300-pound test, and the leader is about 2.5 arm spans. They're like 12, maybe 18 feet long, maybe, under 18 feet. And then just your lure and trolling hooks.
How much weight do you put on usually?
There's no weight. You're trolling. You're moving.
Oh, yeah.
The weight is all in the head. There's lead in the head.
Okay.
Which balances it.
Oh.
But you're pretty much trolling at like 7-8 knots, and the lures do actually man the boat. So certain lures will just run straight, won't do nothing. Some lures will pop, some lures will like side to side motion. Okay. It's a little bit of a mixture.
So how much does that lure weigh? I'm gonna guess like 10 ounces, something
no,
like that.
No, like 4 ounces.
Oh,
like,
4 ounces? Really?
Like, 4 ounces?
It's a popper, that's why, yeah.
Okay.
So something like this. This one is like a straight runner.
Mm-hmm.
This weighs, I think it's just under 7 ounces.
Man.
Yeah. So there's some weight to them. And you're putting them back anywhere from maybe 30 yards back to about 90 yards back off the back of the boat.
Okay.
Huh. And when you hear that, when you're trolling and you hear that reel go, oh, it screams. A 130 class reel, when that thing gets a bite from a big fish, oh, it screams. You'll never forget that sound ever.
Mm. All right. So what about like when you're, I think in your latest video, you guys were fishing like straight down with the live bait. Like, how much weight do you put on there? I think it was like 13 ounces or something.
I think it was like 12 ounces, maybe.
12 ounces, yeah.
Yeah, it was about 12 ounces. And that was crazy. Like, that kid in the video, kid Roy, mm-hmm. that kid, he's only 17 years old. That kid's a super good fisherman. He's well beyond where I was at his age. He's super good. Wow. And that kid is fishing on his little boat, I'd say, at least 4 or 5 times a week, at least. Wow. He hasn't gone this whole week because the weather's been bad. So he's been stuck at home all week.
Yeah. People got to go check that. No, the last couple of videos you pumped out with him, that was pretty cool, man. I like that. And then guys fishing at night and everything. That was pretty cool, man. You using what's those light?
Yeah, the disco ball.
The disco ball. That was bad.
Oh, yeah, the disco balls.
Yeah.
What is it?
So you really, so oh, that man. Really.
The flash bomb.
Yeah, the flash bomb. Yeah. Those really work, huh?
Oh, yeah. They work really good. Yeah. Super. Like, I think that my friend that makes them and sells them, he's like, dude, you know how much sales I got off of that video? I was like, dude, it's not like we're trying to do it to promote the product.
Yeah.
It literally works that good. It's like surprisingly good.
We saw.
Like, I'm like, I've been thinking about it for so long already. How many years already I've been thinking about it? Like, going fishing for swordfish in Hawaii. I know they're here. You know swordfish is?
The swordfish?
They're like marlins.
Yeah.
Marlins, but they're deep water. Okay. They're like 2,000 feet deep. Wow. So I know they're here. People have caught them trolling before. It's a rare one, but nobody knows how to target them over here. Like, nobody knows how to target them over here. In Florida, they target them all the time. So I was like, huh. Nobody's ever, like, targeted them, actually went after them and caught them. So I was like, I'm so bad going to go after these swordfish. As soon as I get my boat, I'm going after swordfish hardcore. So I'm going to use these because you need the lights under the water because it's so deep.
Really deep.
Yeah, you have to use electric reels and everything.
Oh, electric.
So, electric reels? Okay.
You have to go, like, a hooker electric reel, right? But they're so expensive. They're like $5,000, $6,000. So,
and I'm sitting here crying over a $200 reel kit. Holy.
I got one of these just to try because everybody's like, you can use that. The guys I talked to in Florida say you can use this kind of reel to try it. And if it works, it's good. If you can catch them, then switch to a bigger reel. But it's not something you want to use consistently. So this is a Shimano electric reel.
Man, that box is a beast.
I know.
A beastmaster.
So the people are listening. Nick just showed us a Beastmaster. Was it 9,000 Shimano reel? So I'm gonna have to look that up. Holy cow, dude, that's insane. Dude.
So I was like, my goal is I really want to catch a swordfish. I want to be the first guy to catch him actually targeted because nobody ever targets it and catches them over here.
Well, you catch a swordfish. How the hell are you gonna get that into your boat?
It's like a marlin, but honestly, the bill is so much longer. If you catch like a 200-pound marlin, his bill might be maybe like. Hey, 3 feet or so, right? Uh-huh. You catch a 60-pound swordfish, that bill might be like 4 feet.
Yeah, how do you?
The bill is so long on them.
How are you gonna get that into your? Okay, let's just go to the marlin. So you catch a marlin that big, how do you safely get that into your boat?
Muscles. Honestly, it's all leverage. It's all leverage of a big fish like that. The eyes, anything for me personally, if I go by myself, if it's an eye close to 200 pounds, I can pull it over the side by myself. It's all leverage. Catch it by the head, use double gaff, catch it by the head, bend down, and you kind of just bounce in the water, get the momentum going, right? If there's a little bit of swell, you might get a little bit of swell trying to pull it up, pull back, sit on the fish box, and push your feet against the gunnels of the boat, and just like a squat, just push it your feet and pull it up. The marlins is a little different because they're so long. The eyes are short, right? The marlin is so long. You want to be able to get the head over the side. If you can get the head over the side, if as long as you get the head up over the gunnel, that is pretty much just using your feet and just pushing like a squat. To get a 200-pound marlin by yourself is a rough one.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, man, I don't even know. I'd be like,
That big marlin, we have to drag it in. That 1,000-pounder, we have to drag that. We tried to get it. I was like, there's no way. Let's just drag it in.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, 1,000. I'm like, how the hell are you guys getting a 1,000-pound fish onto your boat?
We dragged it all the way in. There's no way in hell.
That's crazy, man. Just think about that, Kit. Catching a 1,000-pound fish on a, 300-pound test line. Dude.
That's insane, man.
That's got to be that's a dream. That's a dream come true in a way. And like, man, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. I want to catch another one, right? I want to catch another one where I can actually win. You know what I mean? Prove, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, dude, that was a grander. But to me, it's like, yeah, I have the pictures of it. And you look at the picture side by side with a grander, like, oh, yeah, that was a grander. But there's no official weight. You know what I mean? We can't really count it, I guess.
What's the record for there in
Hawaii? I think the record for the biggest marlin, I think, in the world is caught in Hawaii. Oh, and they call it, I think they call it Choi's Giant or Choi's Monster, I think it is, was an 1,800-pound blue marlin.
Dang.
And they caught that in like 1970s. Dang. That thing is so big. It's not even funny how big that thing was. I think it's just huge. Dang. But like, you know, like these 1,000-pound marlins, they eat 100-pound tunas like candy. They'll swallow a whole tuna.
Man, how long is that 1,000-pound fish? I'm trying to visualize.
Over 17 feet long. Over 15 feet long, I think. About 15 feet long, I think, is a 1,000-pounder. Somewhere on there.
Jeez.
So they're long. But their mouths, they can swallow 100-pound tunas. My friend, they have videos of them. They had a 60-pound yellowfin tuna underneath the boat hiding. They're like, what is it hiding from? And it went between his two motors and was hiding. And they gaffed it. Like, we got a tuna. And while they're seeing a 1,000-pound marlin circling the boat looking for it.
Dang. Man, that's so insane, man.
Oh, it's crazy.
That is intense, man. I'm not going to lie. That would be I got to see some of that, man. That's pretty intense, dude. That'd be... All right, we got to make a trip, Kit. You got to go with us. I got to take the family. We got to go see Nick, have a couple beers with him.
Oh, yeah, you guys fishing. Yeah, it's summertime, though, when the ice here. We got to make it worthwhile. Yeah. We're eye fishing.
So what are you fishing at when the winter's coming up now here? Or at least, you know, I mean, are you just...
Mostly Mayamais right now. Mayamais, okay. Marlins. The marlin price has been okay, so we've been fishing marlins. Okay. If I catch marlin, I don't really want to cut it up. I'd rather just sell it. So it's like $4 a pound right now. So catch a 200-pounder is $800. Not too bad.
We're in the wrong business, kid. I'm telling you, man. We got to go Hawaii.
It's too expensive. How much is a house over there, like a single-family house in Iowa?
You can get a good, decent house for probably about
$200.
I know.
You get Hawaii for $200,000?
A shack.
You get a studio.
A room. Right? A room at best.
Like, I'm a realtor over here, right? It's like an average place home here is like $900,000. That's like an average home.
I used to live in the Bay Area in Hayward, like San Francisco area. So I know
it's more worse over there.
Yeah, but that's why I'm here. there's no way I could raise four girls if I was in Northern California, bro. You know what I mean? That's just no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's why I kind of came back in a sense. But yeah, no, the cost of living there. I mean, it's like you just said, to live in paradise. It's just
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's moving away. Everybody's trying to get out of here. It's too expensive already.
You know, well, then again, you know, like I said, with COVID, tourism kind of killed
tourism killed the economy over here. Murdered it.
It did. Yeah. And that's why I'm
tons of people lost it. Because everything over here is based on tourism. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you shut down the tourism, it's done. Yeah. So it was nice though having the beaches back all to ourselves. That was awesome. Yeah. Going to the beach having no tourists on the whole beach. Oh my God, it's awesome.
Then he got to the point where, where is everybody at?
Yeah. You go to Waikiki, you don't see one person on the beach. You're like, what the hell?
Right.
But the tourists are coming back now. The tourists are already coming back.
Nice. You know, I think what you said when they got rid of the 14-day quarantine, I think that's when.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I was going to take a vacation, if I was going to take my family, there's no way I was going to take it if I had to quarantine 14 days before I can even anything. You know what I mean? So
you should go look at, because you have four girls, you should go look at Aulani,
okay.
You know, Disney Hotel over here. They have a special right now. I literally booked two nights over there. They have a special right until the end of March. And we booked it all the way to the end of March for half price.
Like I said, man, I was looking to go next month. We'll see. I'm not the
boss. Half price is really, really good for Aulani. That's super nice over there.
I have to see what the boss says because she's the one.
She
wants to go, but it's just like, and then all of a sudden she sees all the, you know, all the numbers going up. She's like,
It's safer over here. It's way safer over here.
Oh, I know, but then you guys might get mad at us. Like, stay.
I don't know.
Home.
Some people are getting mad at the tourists, and some people are like, please come, come. We need you for work.
I get you.
It's mixed. But then the people that are mad at the tourists for coming are the people that are mad 100% of the time for tourists being here. Like, they shouldn't be here. Like, all right, stop it.
Can't win them all, man.
The angry locals, yeah.
If there's a fish that you would want to catch in the mainland, what would it be? You see all these YouTube channels, you see all these people catching on the mainland. What is one that you're like, man, I want one of those, or I want to try and catch one of those? What would it be?
Freshwater would be like a pike. I think it's huge.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think it looks cool. A pike would be freshwater. And then I always wanted to catch like a saltwater. It'd be like a, because when I have one where it's like a bluefin would be cool. Right, like a bluefin tuna because they get big. But then another one would be what are those big ones they have in Alaska, those big flat ones?
Halibut.
Yeah. Yes.
I think
thing looks cool.
I think you should go to if you get
California
a chance,
has it.
Yeah. Northern California area, like Hayward, because I tried it before. I went off the piers up there in NorCal. I didn't get any luck, but yeah, you can see halibut. Yeah, the flat one.
It tastes good sashimi style. Yeah. Sashimi sushi. Oh, it's good.
When you catch a good one, dude, it's hella money. Because you can...
Oh, yeah.
people catch it up there off the pier. Cause there's, so in Northern California, so people are listening, if you go fish over there, if you're fishing off the pier, you don't need a license either in California. So as long as you're off a pier, if you're fishing in the ocean, whatever, you don't need a license over there too.
Oh yeah, they're super good eating. It's like crunchy meat too. It's really good. Yeah.
Halibut.
Well, pike. Well, just a pike, just because it looks like a, oh, it's like a shark. It's prehistoric. It's crazy looking. Yeah. You see videos on YouTube, they're eating ducks and stuff. Like that thing is a top tier predator right there.
Surprised you didn't say muskie, because you know muskies are pretty similar to the pike.
They're like the pike, similar, right? But the next level.
Yeah.
But so, but people don't eat muskies. It's like, no. You don't, you do not keep a muskie. You
are the muskies the bigger one?
Yeah, yeah, muskie's the bigger one.
Yeah.
Muskie's a lot bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Way bigger. And they're the, like Fishing Kid said, they're the ones that they're the trophy ones that you release. Yeah, and like,
you do not keep a muskie unless you want everybody to hate you.
Oh really?
Yes.
People hate if you keep that in.
Yeah, that's the one where you catch it, you kind of leave it in water, and you bring it up, take a picture, put it right back into the water. It's
pretty. What is the thing you were talking about the other day? The white bass. What the hell is that?
You know what a striper is, right?
Yeah.
It's like the freshwater equivalent of that. They're in the same family, the temperate bass family.
So they look very similar.
Yep, you got your yellow bass, white bass, and your striped bass. They're all in the same family. And the white bass is just like the freshwater equivalent, but they don't get as big as the stripers. Because stripers
eat it?
We eat the white bass.
Like, I ate bass one time in Oregon. It tasted terrible. Like regular bass. Like mud water bass.
Ugh. Oh, you talking about largemouth bass? Or are you talking about...
Yeah, largemouth bass. It tastes terrible.
Yeah.
One of my uncle's friends popping in Oregon has like his own private lake thing. It was huge, right? And he's like, yeah, go knock yourself off fishing. Like we're catching every cast we're catching one because it's a private lake, right? Uh-huh. We're catching big ones. Like, can you eat them? He's like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, all right, we'll keep you three of them. Went back, we fried them up. Like, this tastes like shit. I don't know what eats this stuff. It's terrible.
That's why it's a sport fish, man.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
I think your standard's a little bit higher, too. I mean,
yeah.
If you're eating.
It's like mud.
People are going to listen to this and watch it like, yeah, that's why you don't eat that fish. That's why it's a sport fish.
We're from Hawaii. We got to try everything. We got to try everything.
That's funny. But like, no.
Bass fishermen are sensitive if you eat a bass.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They get like the
tournament anglers and the guys that, you know, that are strictly bass fishermen, you know, they just consider it a sport fish. And man, they it's a soft spot. Like in our Facebook groups, like whenever somebody posts up a largemouth bass in the sink, there's all
people lose it.
Yeah, there's always somebody like, you're not supposed to keep that fish.
And we just sit here and like, oh, we just wait, just like eating popcorn, just wait.
Yeah, like grab the popcorn. Let's see the comments.
Well, that's exactly how it is in Hawaii with the fishing over here. If you go like in a Facebook, you go to like the fishing page, uh-huh. and you post like three like papils or it's like a jack, like a trevally or whatever. If you can't say like, a couple, then you post a picture. Oh, just wait. People are like, why'd you have to kill three? Why couldn't you just kill one? What's going on here? Like one of my friends the other day posted a picture, get a cooler with like a dozen of them inside. I was like, oh, you're an idiot. What are you? You're going to get it. Legal size is 10 inches for these. Okay. It's the most prized fish in Hawaii because that's all the trophy reef got. All the guys that go from shore, that's their trophy fish, right? Oluas, giant trevellies, right? He posted a picture. These things look like they're like 8 inches. They are so. I was like, dude, that's not even 10 inches. I can't believe he posted a picture. I was like, oh, he's going to get it on this one. Oh my God. The comments, guys are just ripping him. And he was arguing back. I was like, oh, even more worse. You're going to get it more now.
Dude, those are the GTs, Kit, that I was talking about. That.
Yeah.
I never caught it. That's like a bucket list fish for me. I never caught a GT, so that's why.
That's what we caught in the last video, bottom fishing, was the GTs. Yeah.
That's the big gray kind of.
They fight, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They fight good. From the boat, they fight, but from shore, that's the real fight. Because they'll dig into the reef, they'll try to go on the shelves, they'll try and cut you off. That's the real sport. Yeah.
We got to try that.
I've never caught one from shore before ever.
Is it? Really? Do they just don't come that shallow? Or?
So on the Big Island, if you go Big Island, you can catch them any night of the week. As long as you have the right spot, because it's so much unlike fish areas on Oahu, guys will fish for years and catch one if they're lucky.
Wow. Okay.
The real good guys will catch a couple a year. But there's guys that tries for years and don't catch.
So that's why they get mad, man. If you keep this,
Oh yeah. So same thing with the tuna. Like we have a phrase over here, you know, like the elephant on the boat. Uh-huh. In order for it to be considered an ahi, it has to be over 100 pounds. If it's under 100 pounds, we call it a shibi. It's like Japanese slang for under, like, so a smaller fish. So it has to be over 100 pounds for it to be an ahi. And we consider that the monkey. Guys are like, I didn't kill my monkey yet. Like, you got that monkey on your back. You didn't kill ahi yet this season. You got that monkey on your back. So if you kill it early in the year, like in May, you're king.
Okay.
But then you can kill them from January if you know how to target them. You just have to look for the porpoise pals, the dolphin. The dolphin schools will follow the tuna because the tuna will chase up the bait fish. So that you'll hear guys talking about, like, I got the monkey in my back still yet. Like by like June, July, that monkey turns into a gorilla real fast.
Oh, man. Love it, dude. That's so awesome, man. Holy cow, man. So much stuff we're learning, man. Hey, we got to have Nick back again. I think we should have him back next summer. I want to see how he does.
Yeah, come back at summertime when the eye is rolling in.
We'll hit you up if you get some chance. You got any other questions for Nick Kit, man? Because, man, this is...
If we're winding down, Nick, you just want to, you know, talk about your social media, you know, what else you got coming up? Like, what's coming up for Nick in the next few months or so?
I guess, like, the main thing everybody's waiting for, I guess, is the new boat. I ordered a new boat. Mm-hmm. I ordered it 3 years ago. And it's just pretty much winding down. Like it's going to be done like in the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. I'd say it's literally going to the engine shop next week to get engines on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 2 weeks to get engines on. Then I can bring it back. And I'm actually going to drive it back from the Big Island to Oahu, which is about a 200 mile trip just because shipping is expensive. So I'm going to do like a pretty long video coming back, stopping at Maui or so and then coming back to Oahu. So once I get that boat in, I think a lot of people are waiting for that kind of content coming off that boat because it's my new boat. It's big enough where I can go pretty much anywhere. And then Instagram is pretty entertaining. I don't really have a filter. I make my own boss. So I don't have to worry about some company seeing what I post. So I have no filter. I post any kind of crazy stuff. Yeah. But my Instagram, Morris_lures_Hawaii, it's pretty much just stupid stuff on there all the time. Pretty epic.
Yeah. Is that the best way to get a hold of you? It's like, you know, one of our.
Yeah, Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't really do the Facebook thing too much. I go on Facebook, but not really. It's more Instagram.
Sounds good.
I'll probably put all that stuff in the notes and link all that stuff too.
Yep, we'll definitely put all the links in the notes and everything. And then, man, I'm so excited. Dude, you got me hyped. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to – I'm not going to lie. I might have to talk to my wife real quick. Like, you sure you don't want to go? I know COVID's up and everything, but it's Hawaii. Huh?
It's not that bad. Not as bad as where you guys are. It's a lot safer over here.
True.
I
hear you on that. So
it'd be worse for you guys if we came down there.
I don't care. Honestly, I think I had COVID, you know, in like the end of last year. Like, I really think I had, you know, when I first started showing up, I think I got it. I went to Vegas. I always go to Vegas in October, and I was there. And I came home 2 weeks later, I got sick. And that was, like, the worst, like, cough and mucus I ever had. Mm. And the main thing was I couldn't taste nothing.
Ooh.
I was telling my wife for eating sushi. I was like, I can't taste wasabi. She's like, no. I was like, I'm telling you. You see the ball? Look. I was like, I don't taste it. Like the whole wasabi. Oh, I was like, man. I don't taste it. Something's wrong.
people listen who don't know what wasabi is, it's like it's super spicy. It's a
pungent.
Weird, yeah, pungent. That's it. Pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I couldn't taste it at all. I was like, something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong.
Funny. But no, this is, I had a blast. I hopefully we can get you back on here, Nick. You taught me and Kit, I think, a lot of stuff. Like, my mind is blown, like, amazingly in regards to, like, you know, saltwater fishing and just ocean fishing. And I'm excited, man. I can't wait to go back to Hawaii because I'm going to text my uncle right now. I'm going to let him know, like, dude, I can't wait to get there. And
I'm coming back.
Yep, coming back to go fishing. So, but other than that, man, thank you so much for just joining us, man, giving us the knowledge. I know a lot of people, they're going to listen to this and watch this. They're going to be like, man, this is awesome to have somebody that really – does this, you know, day in, day out in regards to fishing for, you know, ocean fishing and everything out there. And it's just, like I said, man, mind's blown. I appreciate that, man. Love that you just gave us the opportunity just to come here, man. Appreciate it, man.
For sure. Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Cool. Yeah, it was awesome. I feel like I know fishing, and then you talk about you're fishing over there, like, I don't know a dang thing.
So I don't know anything about freshwater. I mean, it's the same difference.
All right, we got to get you on the ice. We'll
ice fishing. That's ice something you got to do at least once
in your life, man. All right, yeah, thanks, for Nick. Sure.
Thanks, guys.